Welcome to the Back in Time podcast with Kyle and JD, where every week we jump into our DeLorean, cruise to 88 miles per hour, and travel back in time to review our favorite films. Every week we talk about current cinema, the latest trailers, and we pick a new favorite film every single episode.
But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts!
Don't say that! Never say that! Goonies never say die!
You're the best! We're the beautiful! We're the only!
Now, here's your host, Kyle Autry, and his co-host, JD.
Welcome back to the Back in Time podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Autry, joined as always by my co-host, JD. JD, it's Star Wars week, man. How are you?
I'm pretty well aligned and centered with myself and my chi and the nature around me and my ability to chop off people's limbs. Because if there's anything about good spiritual fun, it's killing people.
Oh, it sure is. Sure is. Now, this is an interesting topic because, I mean, I'm sure some listeners are wondering why we're doing Star Wars Episode 1 instead of starting with Episode 4. JD, would you like to address those reasons?
Obviously, Episode 1 is a good place to start. It's Episode 1 with the teaser trailer just released for the upcoming movie in December and everything Disney Plus is doing. It makes sense to start with The Phantom Menace, especially since it's drumroll.
May the 4th be with you.
And it's 20-year anniversary.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it would be cool this week to, you know, we put the teaser trailer out here. It's probably Wednesday or Thursday when you're listening to this. And we never put out an episode on a weekend, but May the 4th fell on Saturday. So that's what you're going to get is our full review of The Phantom Menace on May the 4th. So only fitting. And yeah, I'm looking forward to really diving into this. But before we dive in too deep, I want to go ahead and plug the podcast. So if you're listening, make sure you hit that subscribe button up on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. You can also find us on SoundCloud, CastBox, YouTube. Make sure you subscribe, leave us a 5-star review. And you can also visit us on the web for our full catalog. Go all the way back to episode 1 of our show, not Phantom Menace. And you can listen to our original Jurassic Park episode if you go all the way back. But that is all on backintimepod.com. So check out our social media at backintimepod. We'll be blasting that stuff out as it becomes available. And we'll keep you guys in the loop. So, JD, exciting times on the podcast, man.
Yeah, it really is. And big shout out and thanks to all of our listeners, our longtime ones, our new ones. You guys are fantastic. Thank you for the encouragement. I did notice we did get a 1-star review on iTunes. Big thanks to that person that doesn't like us because we still love you.
Oh, we did get a 1-star? I didn't see that.
Yeah, it'll happen. And honestly, if you hate us, audience, let us know because then you can't get better without knowing what you suck at. And I can't change my voice. So
right.
Not everyone's got a way cool radio voice like Kyle.
JD, what are your first memories of watching Star Wars Episode 1?
So, audience, I will be completely honest with you. I was never really a Star Wars fan when I was a kid.
Okay. I mean, it's understandable. I mean, everybody comes into Star Wars, I guess, at their own time.
Yeah, and so when this came out, I would have been 14 years old. Don't get me wrong, I had seen each of the original 3 movies one time. But when Phantom Menace came out, I was like, screw it. I am going to go into the theaters and I'm going to watch it. Went with a couple of friends from school. And I mean, for the time, for what it was, for somebody that wasn't a massive Star Wars fan, I enjoyed it.
I wonder how many people went to see The Phantom Menace just because it was Star Wars and they've heard the kind of the lore behind this franchise their entire life.
Yeah, I think that's what's so cool about Star Wars is it spans what, 4 decades? It's literally mm-hmm. for everybody. It's not just for people from the 70s or from the 80s or from the 90s or from the zeros. Or it's for everybody. Kids that are 5 years old now, kids that were 5 years old back in 1979. It's literally for everybody. It's for us. It's for the people by a millionaire guy that's, I think, pretty eccentric.
I can't say I do remember watching this in theater. I was definitely a fan of the originals, but I wasn't like a massive fan at this point. Cause again, at 14, there's a lot of stuff going on. You're kind of coming into your own as a young man. I had other things on my mind other than movies at that point, but it was like this trailer came out and the marketing for it. Yeah. It was just like, everybody had to go see this movie.
The marketing was fantastic, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah.
The Taco Bell Force little reader cards.
That's what I was going to get into. Yeah. Some of the marketing they did, I still have some of that stuff locked up. Stuff that I kept through the years.
I guarantee I do too. Yeah. I dug everything that this movie did to draw us into watching it. It was pretty cool.
I don't know if we have any NASCAR fans out there, but I know that we have, in my collection, I have a Jeff Gordon Pepsi car with the Phantom Menace like logo like on the entire car from 1999. It's a 1-24 scale. Pretty neat.
Yeah, so, I bet that's worth like $20 now.
Yeah, probably on eBay. $20-$21. Now, who knows? I've never looked it up, to be honest.
It's always fun to randomly look up collectible stuff like that.
Yeah.
I've got a few in my collection that are actually worth something that we got a really great deal on. So,
yeah, we're definitely going to, pretty soon, when we figure out the dates, we're going to have a guest come on, and we're going to talk about 90s toys and collectibles, and that'll be a really fun episode to run through some of that stuff. But let's not waste any more time, man. Let's fire up the trailer. If you're by the computer, you can get access to this. Go on to YouTube. Type in Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace trailer, and you'll be looking for the one titled Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace trailer, and it has 3.6 million views, and it was uploaded by Star Wars. So I will give a 3-2-1 click countdown, and we will watch this together. JD, are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right, here we go. 3-2-1 click.
To the prophecy of the one who will bring balance to the Force. You believe it's this boy?
He can see things before they happen.
He can help you.
The Force is unusually strong with him.
He was meant to help you.
Anakin! Tell him to take off!
Will I ever see you again?
What does your heart tell you?
Are you sure about this? Trusting our fate to a boy we hardly know?
Anakin Skywalker, meet Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I sense much fear in you.
The boy is dangerous. They all sense it. Why can't you?
Fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering.
Okay. JD, the saga begins. Spring 1999, man. What do you think about the trailer?
It's a pretty effing good trailer. It sort of really captures a lot of the magic. It's got the music. It's got the sword fighting, explosions, big armies, cool planets. I think it's unique in that I think every generation of Star Wars movies is slightly different than the others. And so this one is always, in my mind, more of a kiddish trilogy.
Sure.
I know that there are some dark parts to it, and there's a lot of boring political discussion to be had throughout this first trilogy, but I don't know. I mean, I can do without Jar Jar Binks, though, and I cringe every time I see him.
I think that's a perfect example of great concept, poor execution on that character. I think they had big plans for it. It probably tested really well in certain markets, and they're just like, man, I can't believe people hate this Jar Jar guy. And or maybe Lucas was too stubborn, which is entirely possible to make any changes. But I mean, the trailer just definitely gives you all the feelings of, you know, watching that for the first time and being excited about getting out there to watch this thing in theaters. And just, I mean, it's a well done trailer, and, you know, it's got the classic soundtrack. So kind of, I mean, it does its job of grabbing your attention right away, which is definitely what you want from a big budget movie like this to kind of get people talking.
Exactly. If you know what Star Wars is, you're into this. If you don't know what Star Wars is, holy shit, what's Star Wars? This looks cool.
Right. Absolutely. Well, let's see how it translated at the box office here. So Star Wars Episode One debuted May 19th, 1999. The film was distributed by Fox, not Disney, with a runtime of 133 minutes. So it's a pretty long movie here, especially for our podcast. Production budget, $115 million. Opening weekend, Phantom Menace was number one at the box office, bringing in $64.8 million. They would repeat as number one in week two, bringing in another $51.4 million. And that 10-day total, $191.5 million. JD, thoughts on the first 10 days?
That's a pretty big meatball.
I'd say that's a meatball you could push down a hill.
Yeah, that's definitely a boulder of a meatball, and I'm sure that they only increase their profits moving forward.
Do you assume the schoolyard effect was in play then?
Oh, I do. It has to be.
Yeah, it definitely was. So they would stay in the top 10 for 11 weeks on their way to grossing $474.5 million domestically. The film would also gross over $550 million internationally, bringing that worldwide total to a cool $1,027,044,677. And of course, you have inflation because this is 1999. JD, what do you think about the final numbers there?
That sounds in line with what I would have guessed. Yeah, that's a pretty pickle for the Lucas family.
Not bad at all, especially what they put into it, 115, probably another 100 in marketing as well. So you're going to recoup that times 10 almost when you factor everything in. Then you got VHS, you got DVD sales a couple years later, you got Blu-ray, you got special edition. It made a little bit of money on Star Wars, I think.
Oh, yeah. And every time a new movie comes out, they release a new pack of movies with them and then upgrade it slightly. And then there's the versions that George Lucas added stuff and took stuff away and CGI this and rat-a-tat that.
Yeah. So let's take a look at the 1999 top five movies that year. Number five was The Matrix. Number four, Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me. Number three was Toy Story 2. Number two was The Sixth Sense. And then, of course, The Phantom Menace blowing everybody out of the water, doubling almost the second place movie there at number one. So pretty good movies in the top five there. I got to imagine at some point we're going to do The Sixth Sense. We've talked about Austin Powers. We haven't talked about The Matrix. That's not one of my favorite movies, but I mean, I would definitely do it.
That would be kind of trippy to do. Like, that's a loaded movie. I'm a little afraid of even doing Star Wars because I want to make sure that we do justice to the hardcore fans out there.
Yeah.
But in the same way, Matrix is people, its fans are very particular, and I would not want to misspeak or speak illy of a movie that people are batshit crazy over.
I think that's a good point. So let's go through the top 10 list. If we could get in the proverbial DeLorean and go back to May 19th, what would be the choices? It would be Star Wars at number one, The Mummy at number two, number three, Entrapment, number four, The Matrix, number five, The Love Letter, Number 6, A Midsummer's Night Dream. Number 7, Never Been Kissed. Good episode. Actually, future episode, I should say. Number 8, Black Mask. Number 9, Life. And number 10, Election. JD, any standouts there in the top 10?
It's a little bit of a slow week, isn't it?
I mean, The Mummy is pretty big movie. Matrix was pretty big, but they're in week 8 at that point. Other than that, Never Been Kissed, at that point, it's already 7 weeks in. So, I mean, it's kind of Star Wars or The Mummy or, you know, some movie called The Love Letter, which I don't know a lot about. Other than that, I mean, yeah, kind of thin.
Well, and to be fair, there's a reason why studio executives are studio executives, not burger chefs. Sorry, Bob. point being, you know, they know when to drop a movie, and they chose this date specifically to push out Phantom Menace, and all of the studios and other movies around them kind of said, if we put out a movie this weekend too, we're competing with what's going to be the biggest movie of the year. There's no sense in really delivering our big boy to compete with it, because you can only see one movie at a time.
Sure. Sure. I'm sure I could go through real quick and find out when the next big release was, but I'm sure they gave Star Wars about 3 or 4 weeks before they went in to try and compete. But yeah, let's dive into some of the critic and audience response here. It's a pretty good box office numbers there. So as usual, we'll use Rotten Tomatoes to kind of gauge the response of the film. JD, how do you think the critics received The Phantom Menace?
This might be one of the more challenging ones to try to deduce what the critics may have said. You have to look at this movie from the lens of its cinematic quality, its cultural relevance, and then finally its overall package, the final product. And from a critical standpoint, you can really criticize a lot of the acting. There's a lot of annoying things going on here. Some of it's pandering towards audiences and sort of fan baiting. And then you can also praise it for it. It's fantastic shots. It's great cinematography. It's the music is fantastic. And it starts a brand new trilogy of story for, which is still continuing, you know?
Right.
So I want to say I'm probably a little bit jaded in that I would say the critics are more leaning towards the pooping than the praising. But it's Star Wars, so you can't poop on it too much.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't praise it against one of the better ones of the series. You know, we're going into episode 9 with, what, 2-3 side films. So this is definitely not up near the top. I want to say 45%.
Okay. Yeah, you're definitely on to something there. It came in at 54. You got the numbers right, just got them flipped the wrong way.
Oh, shit. I was close.
Okay. You were pretty close. The audience response, 59. I would have guessed higher, especially with the amount of fandom. But I know that the first three are universally kind of panned a little bit. So not the favorites. But let's hear from a couple of the critics. Roger Ebert of the Chicago Sun-Times gave the film 3.5 out of 4 stars and said, "There is a sense of discovery in scene after scene of The Phantom Menace." JD, what do you think about Rod Ebert?
I think he brings up a good point, and you have to appreciate movies sometimes for that fact of what the story is and what you don't know about the story and what you don't know is going to come around every corner. And so as long as you can keep your audience on the edge of their seat, then you've done your job.
Definitely. This one I kind of had to throw in there because it threw me for a little bit of a loop. Thelma Adams of the New York Post gave the film 2.5 out of 4 stars and said, What's missing from George Lucas's heralded return to the screen is ... sex. JD, what do you think?
The hell does that mean?
I have no idea. Such an odd statement to make. I mean, I don't remember there being a lot of sex in the first three.
A little bit of incest, but it doesn't go very far.
Exactly. I mean, if she wanted to make a point, I guess it would be what's missing is a little bit of incest. Let's go to one more. So Susan Stark of the Detroit News gave the film 4 out of 4 stars and said, "Visually dazzling, inventive beyond imagining, and full of resonant detail, that recall stories told or hints at those to come. What do you think about that one? Pretty impressed, it sounds like.
Yeah, this person definitely enjoyed the hell out of it. I would be curious to what their thoughts are on a second watch, or seeing it now 20 years later, and what they think about Jar Jar Binks.
Definitely. Definitely. We should get Susan on the show. If she's still reviewing movies, we should try and bring her on. That'd be a fun episode.
Yeah, actually, that would be a really funny segment to get reviewers from older movies and have them rewatch and re-review what they had previously said and see if they agree with themselves back then or not.
Right. I love it. We're going to be diving into a lot more of The Phantom Menace here on May the 4th on Saturday. Be on the lookout for that episode as it drops. JD, what are you looking forward to most when we dive into the full review of Phantom Menace?
Oh boy, that's a good question. Samuel, I'm looking forward to some Mace Windu.
Can I just say that was the one surprise of the trailer for me is I completely forgot Samuel Jackson is part of this movie.
Oh, well, I almost wish you didn't get spoiled by it then.
I know. But yeah, I mean, he looks exactly the same. The man has literally not aged in 20 years.
He really does look great, you know, back then and now. But I will say, you know, having remembered, I've watched this every time a Star Wars movie comes out now as a grown-up Star Wars fan, I rewatch every single movie. And he doesn't yell at white people nearly enough in this.
Exactly. That's a good point. Now, make sure you guys subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, SoundCloud, CastBox. All full episodes are also up on YouTube. Remember to drop us a 5-star rating on there. Give us a quick little 1-2-sentence review about what you love about the show. That's going to help us grow, continue to get bigger every single week. We're also on social media at Back in Time Pod, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We're on the web at backintimepod.com, and you can email us at backintimepodcast@gmail.com. But for now, it's time to climb back into the DeLorean, punch in today's date, and return back to present day. We'll be back in a couple days with the full review. See ya!
Miso Jar Jar Binks.